the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Kids, they've got a third on the way. Then, you know, a few years later, my little brother gets ready to go to college and he ends up at Friends. Well, he meets his wife, so he moves out here. Now he's on the boys' staff at Wichita Heights. So 2 years ago, you know, I'm coaching with my dad down in Florida, and you know, he was about a year before retirement, and I'm just like, man, I kind of want to join the rest of the family. You know, don't want you guys to have to jump back and forth from Florida and Kansas. So let's just make a deal of, or let's just make a move. We'll get everybody out there except my oldest brother's in South Carolina now. But Well, he's a Georgia. His wife's a Georgia alum, so he's a big Georgia guy now.
Okay.
But I go. So I said, well, let's see what's out there. And I always loved Derby because my brother lives in South Wichita, almost Hayesville. So he'd do a lot of his errands going to Derby, going to the Chick-fil-A there, going to Target, and I'd go with them. And, you know, when you go out at night and you just see that water tower green, you know, you see the stadium lights on, it's a special place. So I was like, man, if I ever move out here, I hope it's to Derby. Well, sure enough, you know, 2 years when I'm looking for a job, Derby has a math teacher position and an assistant basketball coach job. So I'm like, oh man, hopefully I can get this. Well, this is the first time I have to thank the Chadwick family. Miss Chadwick on Twitter,
yes,
was posting. They had literally the day before my interview, they had the staff versus student basketball game, and she was posting clips of it. So I saw that on Twitter because I looked up Derby on Twitter, and you know how those algorithms work. Once you search something, it's going to keep popping up.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that and her videos pop up. So when I had my interview the next day with Mr. Hamblin and Mr. Harrison and Mr. Baldwin, I was like, hey, Mr. Hamblin, just so you know, I'm 6'8", and you guys look like you needed a post presence in that that staff basketball game. So that was a good way to start. You know, eventually I get that job. And so here we are, you know, the whole family's here. My dad's the athletic director and head girls basketball coach out at campus. You know, so we go from Florida to taking over 6A in the Wichita area. That's how it happened. All thanks to a guy named Danny Smith about 12 years ago.
So from one Danny to another Danny.
Yes.
Room exactly. Room full of Dannys, right?
Yep, exactly.
It just the comment that spurred it out. Look like you guys need a post presence.
Yep.
So at 6'8", mm-hmm. I would assume, and I would think it would be a safe assumption, you used to actually play the game of basketball then too, right?
So here's the thing. I was a football player. Football's my
football
first
player. Was your,
my
okay.
dad. My dad was my football coach. I would have loved to play basketball, but the problem is I'm 6'8", but I run a 4-ever-40. So getting up and down the floor, I was too slow. For the way we played at my high school, they were running gun, you know. We had those quick little point guards that just get up and go and shoot the three. That was their game, and I was like, yeah, I don't think I fit into that. So I wrestled in school during the winter. So I played football, wrestled, and then in Florida, weightlifting is actually a team sport. So those were what I did in high school. But I was always around the game. You know, my dad was very successful basketball coach back in Florida. He has 350 career wins there, which, you know, struggling with a little bit over there at campus, but he's trying to build up that program. But, yeah, I've always been around the game. Just I didn't play it in school because, shoot, I knew that wasn't going to be my strength just with my speed. So
now I have to ask, you said getting up and down the court wasn't your thing. So If y'all had played a Princeton-style offense, that would have fit perfectly then. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. We could have sat and slowed it down a little bit, yeah. But you trying to get me to run with some of those? No, I'd be – shoot, after about three or four times up and down the court, I'd be asking for oxygen. So.
Wow. That sounds about like me. Two trips, and okay, I need to come to the bench. Give me some water. Okay, I'm ready to go back in. All right, put me back out in about 2 minutes, coach. So.
Hey, I can be a one-way player if you have me just sit down. Let me play offense, and I'll put some pressure on the guy inbounding. But you're playing with four on defense, so good luck.
Wow. So you got involved in coaching, and I always ask the males this question because it's always interesting. Because I remember watching Wichita State women's basketball team back when they had a guy named Daryl Smith. And that was the first time I'd really known about, you know, a man coaching women's basketball. Of course, you know, there's Gino Auriemma. How can you not know that name? Because he basically took the baton when Pat Summitt was declining with her health. And he took the baton and ran with it. And since then, the game is called up. When I say the game is called up, now we know women's basketball. We know about Iowa. We know about LSU. We know about Don Staley in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. What is it that made you decide to get involved in coaching women's basketball?
So, honestly, it was a discussion at the dinner table with my dad. You know, like I've mentioned, he'd been coaching for a while. I was finishing up my bachelor's degree in Florida, and he had just taken the program back over. He took 10 years off, but he'd got the opportunity to take back over the girls program down there, and his one assistant coach, he only had one assistant coach. You have two coaches down there on salary. So he was like, man, you know, I've got to do tryouts tomorrow and it's just me. And I'm like, oh, I'll come out and I'll help out for tryouts. Well, tryouts turned into that season, turned into helping out with the next season, turned on to, you know, they finally get a third paid position open. So I'm helping with him. And it just went from there. You know, I'd coached in Florida. I coached football, girls, basketball, and softball. And, you know, for some reason, it's just I think the game's a little bit slower, so there's more attention to detail. And I feel like possessions are more valuable. And the girls are a little bit more meticulous and stuff, too. Like, they've got to really break down and see the things and just, you know, their attitude. Like, they want to learn. You know, sometimes with especially the teenage boys, they think they know everything. And granted, sometimes the girls like that too. But the girls, you know, I feel like they just want to know and they want to get better. They want to learn. So I think that's part of the reason why I've really stuck with it.
And now we see your journey lands you at Derby. So tell me, what is the Derby experience like? See, this was my first time experiencing it. And I'm going to tell you, I was blown away. I feel like I'm part of the Derby family. But tell me, what was that when you got to Derby? What was that Derby experience like from the time you came on board with Derby and into this season as well, too?
So my first experience with Derby was actually I came out to a summer lift before I moved out here. Came to summer conditioning, and I go in the gym, and the first thing I noticed was Coach Harrison was shorter than I thought he was in the interview, because it was a Zoom interview because I did it in Florida. And then I saw Addie Brown's intensity on her face, and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I getting into? But there was that. Then once we got into it, you know, we started our off-season conditioning stuff. And once the school got into session, and just seeing we have girls that get after it. You know, it's nothing for us to have 25 to 30 girls for off season stuff trying to get better. So I think that buy-in is the big thing just for our program and it's in and of itself. But the Derby experience as a whole, I mean, you look at a successful athletic program, you know, with so much support from Mr. Baldwin and Miss Pontius. And Mr. Hamblin before that, but you've got, you know, the football team killing it year after year. Coach Clark's done a great job. Yes. You know, Coach Flory with basketball, Coach Krause having success with volleyball, you know, a wrestling program, just, you know, all of these sports being successful, and then we also we support each other too.
Yes.
You know, Coach, yes. Coach Heinicker comes out to our games. You know, Flory came to our state games this year.
Yes, she did.
There's just so many, you know, coaches that have been there a while, and then we all support each other and want to be successful. We want Derby to be successful, which is huge to me. There's just so much support with that community. And then you look out in the crowd, and, you know, it's not just students and, like, parents. Of the players. It's the community comes out. So it's just – Derby's just – it's a special place.
And,
you know, it's just – we all want – we all have the common goal of wanting to see Derby be successful, and I think that's amazing.
And I have to agree with everything you said about Derby experience because, you know, I've shared this with people. I say there are two people that's instrumental in getting me back into the high school gymnasium. One would be Coach Jackson out at May South.
Mm-hmm.
And I witnessed their atmosphere. I called their fans the Duke Cameron Crazies 2.0 because, of course, it was the rival game against Mays. And when I went, mm-hmm. and I'm like, yeah, I like this atmosphere. Then Coach Chadwick, he gave me the invitation to come watch his team. And I think he was actually setting me up. I really do. Because little did I know, and you know, I have to say like this, I just recently picked up a part-time fill-in job with the Bob and Jeff show on KFH. I'm pretty sure you know those guys. Because Joanne Chadwick said that Bob Luce is one of her favorites, but picked up a part-time gig. Whenever they need me, I go. And then I'm doing podcasting, and you try to keep your fandom out the way. But I think Coach Chadwick set me up. I think he knew deep down. He said, yeah, if I get him in here, if I can get him hooked in here, he's going to be a fan. And true enough, I became a fan. Man, I mean, I was just coming to watch some good basketball, make my round. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say, what game is going on this week? I came to Derby once wasn't enough. Seen you guys playing out there at Mays High School. That wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. I had to come back to the sub-state final. I'm like, what is it about Derby that got me hooked? And if that wasn't enough, what else happens? I'm tweeting out, well, I might not be able to make it to y'all's first game, so y'all have to win so I can come check out the next game. What happens? Y'all win. I'm there for the game to, you know, that would determine if y'all go to the state finals. That didn't happen. But you know what? That still wasn't enough. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to support these girls until the bitter or better end. So that's why I have to say thank you to each and every one of y'all for coming on the train ride, first of all. But, that Derby experience, and then when you get to meeting people, you can't help but say, dang, this just feels like one big old happy green family. So talk about the season because, like I say, I was blown away when I came to the first game to see y'all play, and it was against Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking up at the score because, you know, I told Coach Chevick, I said, I don't know if it was the traffic, people can't drive, and it delayed me getting there on time. But when I got there, the game was pretty much over because of the margin of what the score was.
Oh, yeah.
Not knowing that at first Newton did show some resistance.
Yes, they did. They did that at our place. They did.
But
they kept it tough that first quarter.
But when I got there, and then I'm noticing y'all play the game in waves. You got your first five, and then coach subs out the first five, puts in the second five, and they're just as relentless as the first five. It's like sharks in water. And then even if you go a little bit deeper on the bench, they're coming in, and they're just as – it's like they got a pit bull mentality. Once they lock in on you, they're not going to let go. I mean, how do y'all instill that trust among teammates, the trust of people that's out on the court when they're not on the court? How do y'all instill that trust in them?
Well, you know, actions speak louder than words. So I think one of the big things for our starting five was to see that second group can be successful and how they can be successful. You know, you look at our starting or our second group, and, you know, we're not Amazons or anything out there. We're a bunch of fast athletes. You know, you look at it, and when you go with because we rotate the one girl. We rotate Carly and Asia Fox. Carly Damel and Asia Fox, they'll rotate just because of quarters and them being younger. When you put that second group out, you know, with Carly, Carson Carpenter, and Avery Kelly, those are athletes. They don't play, you know, basketball's not their only thing. They play three sports.
Softball and volleyball, I do believe, right?
Softball and volleyball. Carly actually plays girls tennis. She picked that up this year.
Okay.
But, yeah, Carson and Avery both play volleyball. Then you've got Malia and Callie who just, you know, they're so court smart, they just get after it. So with them, our thing was let our athletes be athletes. You know, we're not going to kill them running a bunch of offensive sets and stuff. We got to kill them trying to defense pressure, get those easy layups. And that's something that we try to instill in the girls too, is that, hey, what's the highest percentage shot in basketball? Well, it's within 3 feet of the rim. One of the easiest ways to do that is off steals and runouts. So we try to get, we get that defensive pressure to show, hey, first group, we're going to give you 3 minutes, you know, take your breather because we expect you to play that with that defensive intensity. That's something we tell them too, you know. The D in Derby stands for defense.
Right.
That's always been our thing, is we instill defense. You know, that's something I love about Coach Chadwick, is that pressure. Because that's what I'm used to in Florida, because we didn't have big girls. I mean, shoot, I was a foot taller than almost everybody that got on the floor for us down there. So we had to play that defensive pressure to be successful. So I'm used to that, and I love that. So, I mean, just having our girls – you know, really buy in, see that, hey, the defensive pressure works a few times has been great for our program. That's going to be our calling card for as long as, you know, Coach Chadwick's our coach, as long as he's leading the program. It's all about that defensive pressure, which I love.
Absolutely. So I want to move fast forward because, like I say, I'm very appreciative to the people that introduced mm-hmm. me back to the high school game of basketball. Now we come to state,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard of performances,
mm-hmm.
but to actually witness the performances that I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
I was definitely blown away. You know, when you think of some of the high school legends around here in the state of Kansas, you know, one in particular, I would say set the bar. Everybody knows who she is, Lynette Woodard.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas' own first female to mm-hmm. play for the Harlem Globetrotters. You think of people like Jackie Stiles, girl from a little old small mm-hmm. town. But to see the performance that I'm gonna go ahead and link these two names together, because one is a freshman, one's a sophomore.
Yep.
And sophomore, I'm proud to say that I'm going to be at a lot more Derby games throughout her career. That would be Michaela Askew. And mm-hmm. I think she took the battle personal when she went up against Maddie Vickery. And you talk about a performance of the ages between two talented young individuals that I believe is going to carry that baton high. And I know people say, well, you're mentioning their names with Lynette Woodard and Jackie mm-hmm. Stiles. Well, if you've seen that performance, their name is worthy to be mentioned. So as you're on the bench coaching and seeing this unfold, what is going through your mind?
Well, when you go 17-21 from two, shoot, put the team on your back, Michaela, let's go. Michaela's such a special kid. You know, she doesn't act like she's 16 years old. She's wise beyond her years, you know, and she just came to the program this summer, you know, transferred in from Nebraska. And, you know, she wants to be successful, and she's also so raw. But the night before she had struggled, two nights before the Wednesday night, we talked to her Thursday. I was like, hey, you know, if you just drop stepped a few times, you probably would have had 20. She's like, yeah, I know. So she really, you know, started watching film. You know, I have her in homeroom, so we looked at some film together. We talked about it. And she, you know, she knew that she was going to have a special night, because we watched some stuff. We saw that, you know, some post passes were going to be there with her and Jaden Wilson. And she knew she was going to have a special night. You know, first half, I think she was in single digit. But in that second half, I think coach called one play about five or six times in a row, and we scored on every single one of them. So I think that's when, like, hey, let's go. We're going to give it our best shot to win this thing. Give it to me and we're going to eat. So, and then Maddie Vick, man, she's special. 6'2", and have the shot that she has. I mean, she killed it from three and from the free throw line, and, you know, really made us work defensively to try to stop her. So I'm looking forward to it. hopefully those matchups are happening in the state finals as opposed to state semifinals moving forward, man. Though.
Because as I was tracking, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. All right, Michaela just scored. All right, come back down again. Michaela just scored. Come back down again. Uh-oh, wait a minute. She scored again and won? Wait a minute. Michaela has scored 7 straight points. And I'm trying to tweet this out. I'm like, all right, Michaela's on to something. And then next thing I know, the only time, hey, and I don't mean this in a bad way, the only time I questioned the substitution was, I'm like, wait a minute, you just put the hot hand on the bench. No, don't do that.
So the thing with Michaela is that you can see it on her face when she's got to come out for just a little bit. And she normally doesn't argue with it. She, you know, and this is from her. She's relatively new to the game, playing at such a high level. So, like, working with her, me. Coach K and I, Coach, yeah, oh, I know. Coach K and I worked with her this summer and stuff, so we know her pretty well, and I can see it on her face. She can give me a look. And, you know, sometimes she's got to come out, and it's only for a little bit, but then she's got to go back in. But, yeah, she's a special talent. You know, once she gets a few more things in her repertoire, I mean, I don't think Power 5 is out of the question for her at all.
Man, and you know, I'm already looking ahead. I'm like, I'm going to hate to see senior night because,
yep.
Man, that performance almost had me, when I say it had me in tears, because the outcome wasn't what we expected. I'm like,
no.
She is playing. She is putting this team on her back. And I'm like, I just had to sit there for a few minutes. I'm like, it was, for me, it was a bittersweet moment. That's how you know I become a fan right there, mm-hmm. because that was a bittersweet mm-hmm. moment. But then I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? Win, lose, or draw. You can't take that away from her. Then the next game, she comes back. It's for the third place game. Battling foul trouble. Only played a total of, what, 12, 13 minutes. And her point production, her point production still outdid her minute production on, as she came up with 17 points, still found a way to grab 18 rebounds, battling who's that team? Blue Valley, wasn't it?
Blue Valley North. Yep, with Jahlia Davis.
Jahlia Davis, and I'll say this: I don't want you to get in trouble. And battling officials. And still found a way in limited time to get 17 points and 8 rebounds. Let that sink in for a minute. If this is not special talent. So that's why come I mentioned the Lynette Woodards, the Jackie Styles, and I mentioned these names because these names, and especially with social media, are going to be known for years to come. And like you say, Power 5. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to next season because I seen a clip of Michaela. And she said on there, I think I'll be dunking next year. I want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that.
She can get up. She can touch rim.
Touch the rim, yes.
But she doesn't even know how to jump. That's just pure being an athlete. You know, with Coach Stavik being a track coach, we'll get her to jump. And, I mean, if she can do that, it's got a little sister that can get up there, too. So, it's, you know, it's just – she's a freak. And I tell her, I'm like, you're a freak athlete, you know, but yeah, looking forward, moving forward with her. She's going to be special. And, you know, she's got, you know, our sophomore class isn't very big. You know, we got Carly Damel, and that's about it right now. But we've got a big successful freshman class coming up with her. So it'll be, you know, the ending the season on a Saturday at Coke is still going to be that goal moving forward for sure.
Right. So let's talk about your senior class because that's a special group.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny Smith, Madison Smith. Who are the other ones? I don't have the name. I don't have the program guy here before me, but those two stick out.
Yeah.
Yeah, some more. Now, did y'all have 5 or 7 seniors? Because I looked in the program guy. Look like I counted 5 or 6, but I didn't count 7. But somebody said 7 mm-hmm. seniors. So how many seniors was it in this class that y'all had on the team?
So we have 7 on the team, but Keisha has a rule. You can only dress 12 in the state playoffs. So with matchups and how we wanted to play, we actually dressed 2 younger girls. So 2 of our seniors didn't dress towards that. But we had 7 in the program. You know, you start with Maddie and Dez. They're just – basketball is their life. You know, they're always around it, always going, you know, going to trainers, playing the summer ball. Just that's their thing. And, you know, and they get to, they're lucky enough to continue to be teammates with each other. And they're just both such special players with what we asked them to do. You know, Maddie, I told her last year, you know, she thought she was just going to be that 3-point specialist coming off the bench for us last year. And she turned around, her role completely flipped to now she's a defensive stopper. She's going to go up and either get a block or contest a shot on one of those guards because she's got a freakish wingspan. I'd love to see it measured one time because I swear it's got to be at least 6'6", and she's only got a 5'10" frame. So, but that was her role in this year. You know, putting more, doing a little bit more offensively, and then you know, Destiny is she's one of a kind. You know, from how she is as a player to how she is as a person, Destiny is Destiny. She can't be anybody else. You know, she
Right.
comes in, she comes into practice, she got her colorful shorts on she wore for the day at school, and you know, doing something, drinking some, having some weird Sonic drink in her hand, weird concoction that she does. You know, she's just a special person. Then she comes out and she goes on the floor. And you know, we asked her to be the point guard this year, and I think she did a great job of that. You know, there were some times where she thought it needed to be her, and sometimes, you know, she'd kill it when it needed to be her. And then other times it was like, hey, it's Max game. Let's feed her, let's feed Jaden, let's feed Maddie. You know, she did great with that. Then we had Jaden Wilson.
Yes.
She played our five, which you wouldn't think of that looking at Mac, but Jaden would just go out and she'd get some of those, you know, the gritty plays, the stuff that's not gonna, you know, it shows up in the box score, but like that's not what people are looking at. You know,
Right.
she'll get some steals because people don't think she's as athletic as she is. She'll go out and, you know, she killed it, had some steals in that. Who we play first? Shawnee Mission, Northwest, all those Kansas City schools mess me up because they're all just some form of suburb and then directional name. Whatever
Right.
suburb team we played that first time, she went out and she killed it for us. She had some key steals, and you know, and then you look at the Washburn Rural game, and you know, yeah, Michaela had 35 and Jaden had 14. So you're looking at 49 points between two of your posts in a
Wow.
state semifinal game.
Right.
That's insane. So she killed it for us when she needed to. And then you go, yeah, Kyler Damel to round out the starting five. And you know, like we talked about, she's an athlete. You know, she's three sports. She's gonna go play softball at Butler College.
Butler County, right.
And yep, and she's a player that, you know, she wants to help the team however she can. You know, she's not one that demands the ball, that wants to put up, you know, 20 a night. She'd love for it to happen, but she doesn't shoot as many shots in the game to score 20. But you know, she'll go out, she'll look for the open teammate, she'll go get that offensive defensive rebound. She normally would draw the we'd normally put her on the score to try to shut them down, and she'd do a great job of that. You know, we did that to her junior year. We put her on Jaden Wooten, and Jaden, I think she scored, I think as a team they only scored like two in the second half in that state, in the third place game last year. So she's got that ability to just shut people down and just make all those hustle plays you want. Then you go, Avery Kelly is our fifth senior. You know, she was the calm in that second group. You know, with some of the personalities there, she was the one that was like, hey, relax, we've got this. And she knew exactly what everyone was supposed to do, and she'd help people do what they needed to do. And then if she ever had a question, you know, she'd gotten to a point in that Shawnee Mission Northwest game where she was inbounding the ball and she thought she was in a no-win scenario. She literally comes up the next day. Me and Coach Petrosor sitting on the couch in the coach's office. She comes up, pulls up the film on huddle. She's like, okay, what do you want me to do here? And we're like, okay. So we told her how to fix it. She's just such a smart kid. She's going to be successful playing volleyball at Newman. You know, just a great kid, great basketball player. Always positive, always ready to help a teammate. Just a great kid. And then
Absolutely.
rounding it out, you got Tegan Grady and Natalie Wilson, who you know, they're program kids. They're those kids that are gonna give it their all in practice. You know, they're going to make us better. They, you know, they knew they weren't guaranteed court time, but they're going to be the best people for the program there is. You know, the bench presence, which people see, you know, there's those pictures of us going crazy, but it starts with them.
Uh-huh.
You know, in girls basketball, sometimes you have to bring your own energy because we're not guaranteed those same fans sometimes.
Right, right.
And they would bring it for us. They would, you know, on the bench, they'd be the ones starting the cheers. They'd be the ones, you know, sometimes people wouldn't hear the cheers on the other side of the bench because I don't know that people know this, but I sit in the middle of the bench just so I can see the vibe of the bench.
Right.
Hey, but I'm a big dude. I'm 6'8", and, you know, I got those broad shoulders, and sound doesn't necessarily travel through my big old body. So people on the other side of the bench are like, end of the bench, what are you doing? Right. I'm like, guys, they're cheering. They just aren't going through me.
Hey, coach, right here, I got like 10 seconds before this stops recording. Yep. So I'm going to bring you back for my other segment, okay? So just hold right there. We're going to bring you back for another segment, okay? Right here on the A-Train Sport.
Chip, crack, or completely broken. Does your vehicle need the glass man?
Hey, glass man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the glass man.
Hey, glass man.
The glass man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, glass man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glassman just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. This is your host and conductor of the state's number one podcast. Yes, I keep saying it is the state's number one podcast, and I'm going to keep on saying that because the reason I say that is because I have some of the best guests that come on this podcast. And in that first segment, you heard Coach Allen, and guess what? Coming back in the second segment, we're going to still have Coach Allen. Normally, I do 15-minute chunks, but it got getting so good, like a nice, juicy steak with a loaded baked potato. We just went on ahead and went on until it went up to the last second, so I'm going to be bringing Coach Allen back on for this second segment, and if we go another 30 minutes, guess what? It's all gravy on that loaded baked potato. So what I'm going to do, I am going to bring Coach Allen back on, and we're getting hooked up here right now. So, back on for another segment, and he has a busy day ahead because he's going to be getting on the road to check out another Derby alum. I remember reading about her, even think I did a segment because I think she was the Kansas Gatorade Female Player of the Year. Talking about Addie Brown at Iowa State. I remember that name, and I remember that was the award that she garnered. And can I tell you something about Derby? There's going to be some more awards going out like that in the future. Mark my words. So, Coach, we was talking about your senior class, and I know that last game, even if I would have won state, that still would have been a tear jerking moment because of what that senior class laid, a foundation that they laid for those that are coming up. So tell us about the upcoming class because you still have some key components coming back. Oh, I know we've talked about Michaela, but I know there's going to be some more coming up as well, too. So tell us what the future is looking like for Derby girls basketball.
You know, the future's looking great. You know, talking about our JV and our freshman programs, I coached the freshman team. I think we had we went undefeated in the ABCTL, and I think we dropped 5 games. 2 of them to Ponca City out of
Oklahoma.
Out of Oklahoma, and they were, you know, they were giant. They were some big girls for a freshman team. And we didn't play necessarily all of our freshmen because of the game limits with Keisha, because there are some teams around here that don't have freshmen. So it's an interesting little numbers game, which as a math teacher, I don't mind trying to match up one freshman have to play when they can play for me. You know, when we've got those freshman only games, when they've got to play JV and all that. But no, I mean, our freshman team was very successful going undefeated in the ABCTL. Our JV team, same thing. They only had 2 losses, and they were both very close to very talented McPherson team, very first game of the season. And then they lost to Salina Central, who that's a team to look out for. I believe I don't know if they're 4 or 5A, but that's a team to look out for in the future because they've got some size coming up for sure. You know, they were both very successful. You know, we've got our junior class of Malia Lansing and Callie Rickards, which they've got plenty of experience at the 1 and 2 position. Then you've got Carson Carpenter, who was our rotational 5, who still ended up, you know, coming off the bench and getting all league honorable mention because she can just go out and again another athlete just goes out and plays. So that's our junior class. You know, our sophomore class is small. It's just it's going to be Michaela Askew, which we already talked about, and then Carly Damel, who, again, is an athlete that, hey, we get her into the gym a little bit more, she's going to be something special. She showed glimpses of it against Blue Valley North. She just went out there, and we said, hey, we got to get rebounds, and that's what she did. I think she had, like, 5 in that first quarter or something like that. And
7 you know, for the game, I do believe, right?
Yep. So Carly, and she had to play a lot of minutes because Michaela getting in foul trouble. We decided, you know, this was going to need to be a physical game if we want to try to keep it close. And she went out and she did her best, you know, and all of her – she's only about 5'9", and she had to go up against those 6'1", and 6'2", posts for Blue Valley North. But she went out there and just played her tail off.
It's when you talk about their height compared to who they had to go up against. Mm-hmm. It's safe to say that y'all have instilled a Charles Barkley mentality into them girls because Charles Barkley was not the tallest. And he used to say like this, Charles would say some things. He said, any dummy can score.
I mean, yep.
He said, anybody that scored was pretty much, he was saying, anybody that can score points is a dummy. He said, but you have to be able to play defense and rebound. And he could rebound with the best of them over his height. And that's why I say, y'all have instilled a Charles Barkley like mentality into these girls because, you know, when you talk about that Blue Valley North game, I'm looking at the rebound stats. You have 2 players, 7 rebounds to go along with Michaela, who got 8 rebounds. What's that? That's 7, 14, 22 rebounds from your interior players right there.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot on coaching and a lot on players buying in. So you guys got to be commended for that because that right there, even in the loss, it still stood out like, even with this and all the foul trouble, you got 1 player, 8 rebounds, 2 players, 7 rebounds. My goodness, they are relentless on the boards.
That's, you know, that's like we said, you know, the D stands for defense and, you know, shoot, you can go the third letter, R stands for rebounding. So,
right.
But we definitely instill that because, you know, going back to the pressure we like to use, we want to try to get steals. And if we don't get steals, we better go get a rebound. And that's just what we've instilled in our girls, and they really bought into it. You know, Carly, you know, that's her MO. You know, looking at her, you know, granted it was on the JV level, there's times where we'd put her in the post and just because we knew she'd be more physical than the opposing post, and she post up and you know, 1 or 2 dribbles and go and score and sometimes get the foul call. She's, you know, once we get her a little bit more basketball stuff, because like we said, you know, basketball's nowhere near. She's probably going to be a Division I softball player when it's all said and done. But once we get her in the gym a little bit more to get a little bit more court sense, she's going to really be a special player for sure.
Right. And, you know, you're talking about the D in Derby stands for defense. Of course, you know, Derby starts – the word Derby starts with two letters that stand for defense, D-E. And then you said the R stands for rebounding. Well, the B stands for a word that I heard Coach Chadwick use on my podcast when I had him on here. That's called bully. He says, he teaches, don't be afraid to play bully ball. And that's the thing. You look at y'all's young lady, some beautiful young ladies, but don't let that fool you once they get on the basketball court. I saw y'all against Newt. And I especially saw y'all against Mays, to where some of the fans on Mays like, ooh, they were trying to claim that Derby was playing not so nice basketball. Mm-hmm. But when you're going after those loose balls, there's nothing pretty about that. Things are going to happen. I think one of the Mays players was like kind of draped on one of the Derby players, and the Derby player kind of like moved, and it looked like she flipped her off of her, and the Derby player, the Mays player hit the floor kind of hard. I'm like, that's just basketball, y'all. Hey, if you're going to bring a bone, you better be prepared to take a bone. So
Exactly. That's something Coach Chadwick's really instilled in our girls is, you know, we're not going to take anything. You know, we might look a certain way, but, you know, we're tough. We got some tough girls that spend a lot of time in the weight room that are strong. And you know what? No one's going to try to bully us. You know, you'll shoot some threes. You can hit some of those outside shots, but no one's going to come in and, you know, just dominate us in the paint or be more physical than us for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, I know you have to get ready to hit that road.
Mm-hmm.
Watch a Derby alum who's been pretty successful at the next level.
Oh, yeah, very much.
My last question before I let you go is, do you see anybody moving forward, possibly being Kansas Gatorade Player of the Year and going straight from high school to the D1 Power 5 level? Matter of fact, I'm kind of like this now. I'd rather just see him go to Wichita State and build that program. Here's my vision. I'm going to lay it out like this. 2 years from now, Coach Terry Nooner is going to be knocking on y'all's door, if he's not already, wanting to get Michaela Askew to come there. Mm-hmm. And by that time, Madison and Destiny, they're going to exhaust their eligibility at Butler County. And they're all going to just link back up and go to Wichita State. And right there, you got three winners right there. They got that winning mentality. And I believe you have one that's going to Hutch. So y'all already got a rival going on within the team.
Yep.
You know, I'm just playing this scenario out in my mind. I mean, it could happen like that. You never know. But, you know, I'm like, you know, if they could find a way to keep these players on, we watched them in high school. Now let's watch them in college and make that program a successful and lay that groundwork. I mean, to me, that would be something special. I know it doesn't always happen like that, but.
You know, it'd be awesome. We do that. Then you add, if you could add Zoe Canfield from rural. And
yes.
Yeah, Ashley Singate from May South. May South, a couple of those girls from Shawnee Mission South. And, hey, Wichita State be in business.
Absolutely. I mean. And we can keep our fingers crossed.
yes.
But I want to say, though, in letting you go, y'all had a great bunch of young women representing y'all's community, y'all's program. They just exemplified dignity and class. And here's what really got my attention when I seen y'all at the Mays game, because I remember after Newton game, I seen Michaela right there by the doorway. I greeted her and said, hey, you had a very nice game. I said, I appreciate watching. She was very thankful, very appreciative. Then when I seen y'all playing against Mays, the first thing that came out of Michaela's mouth was, hey, thank you for coming out supporting us. And I'm like, you know what? That made me feel good. That let me know that y'all have a very appreciative bunch of young women that represent y'all's community, y'all's team, and the whole town of Derby very well. And then, you know, to meet players, meet some of the parents of the players. And I mean, here's a funny thing that happened. I'm coming to Coke Arena, and this is the game. I seen the game before. It was the Heights game, so that was the only thing I could stay for. And one of the guys, he said, "Wait a minute, aren't you the one that put it out on X that you couldn't be here and you want the?" I said, "What?" I said, "You saw that statement and you linked that. How did you do that?" So that lets me know. That lets me know that Derby is a community that cares about its team, but it also, you know, is about forming friendships. And I can't thank Coach Chadwick enough for getting me out to Derby and hooked me in and reeled me in. Now I bleed green. That's why when you see me, I had on some form of green, even if my ball, I had to have on green. You know, Coach Flory, I feel like he's a brother to me now. And Coach Chadwick, Coach K, and I haven't gotten the other coach on here yet, but I'll reach out to him. But you guys do a great job. Y'all make Derby, y'all make the town of Derby proud. Y'all have a good product on the court and off the court. So I want to say moving forward, best of luck. And maybe next year we're saying state champ, state 6A champs, Derby girls basketball. So, Coach, thank you for hopping on the train ride. Now I'm going to let you hop on, I guess you got to just hop on Interstate 35 and go whichever way. Yes.
Yep. Luckily, I live in Hayesville, so, you know, the road is right there, right down the road. So I just hop on and go north and see that beautiful ride up to Kansas City. Now, the foothills are lovely, but there's some parts where it's, man, hopefully I don't get hypnotized by the road. But looking forward to going up, watching Addie Brown, hopefully eating some Arthur Bryan's barbecue. But thanks for having me on. It's been a great time.
Absolutely.
Love talking about our girls, for sure.
And if you get some barbecue, this is my request. Make sure you have a to-go container and bring some back. All right? So.
Oh, I got you. Are you ribs or brisket? Ribs or brisket?
Brisket will do me just fine. Oh.
I got you.
All right. Well, if you have a safe trip and anytime you want to come on the train, by all means, just, hey, you got to open the door. I have an open door policy for you, open invitation. So be safe, and we will talk with you again. Once again, Coach Danny Allen, Derby High School Basketball. Well, coming back on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about some Kansas legends in basketball. So don't you go nowhere. I will be back shortly. And I hope you enjoyed the interview. I know you did. The reason I know you enjoyed it because I enjoyed it just as well. But, yeah, it is time for me to take that break. So, stay tuned. It is the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, and we're still building up ahead of steam. Be right back shortly. Moving too bossy, we don't tread softly, but not flossy, the streets that taught me, moving too bossy, we don't tread softly, but not flossy, the streets that taught me, I'm just trying to give my nigga pay, we came from Section 8, and I knew I was at since the second grade, man, I swear my time is coming, cause I'm never late.
Chipped, cracked, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the Glass Man?
Okay, Glass Man.
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glass Man.
Okay, Glass Man.
The Glass Man will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Okay, Glass Man.
Bring your vehicle to the Glass Man just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. To the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. That's right, your host, your conductor of the state's number one podcast, Anthony Smith. grateful for my guest that I had on. I can't say Coach Green, thank you enough. Now I have to put this out like this now, because I know the other coaches, they're going to hear this. And I hope they don't say, well, why come he got more time than I did? I know they ain't going to do that, though. I can tell you exactly what they're going to say. They're going to say, Coach, you did a good job. That's how Derby roll. You know, you heard him talking in an interview. You know, you look across their programs that, you know, the coaches, basketball coaches, girls and boys, or as Coach Chad would say, it's just basketball, but they all support each other. He said the parents get out and support, the community get out and support. I mean, heck, look at, hey, look, I bleed green myself now. I mean, that's what the Derby experience will do to you. It will bite you. You will be snake bit. It will bite you. He said the softball programs. I mean, when you look at the makeup of the girls basketball team, you got some multi-sport players. I mean, I can just imagine if one is playing softball, if not the whole basketball team, I bet you 90% of the basketball team, if they're not bogged down in study hall, will be out supporting that teammate. They get out, support the football program. I'm pretty sure the football players come out and support. I mean, it's just support all across the board. So, yes, I can just hear them saying, Coach, you did a good job on the A-train. So, I'm thankful to Coach Chadwick, Coach K, Coach Allen, and there's one more I'm going to get. I don't have the program, so I can't call his name, but I'm going to get him too, because I see another coach on that staff, and I can tell you, he's a ball of energy, too. He gets that, come on, firing that team up. So, but, yeah, thank you to those coaches who have jumped on the train ride. I am very appreciative of you. That's why come I say that this is the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. And I'm putting this out there. You know, we talked about the seniors. I'm going to get them on here, too. I'm going to either do it individually or I'm going to do it as a group. If I do it as a group, that's going to be a blast. You heard all the praise that Coach gave them and what each one of them brought to the table and what they meant to the team. So I look forward to making that happen. And it's going to be, I'm almost at the point to where what I want to do is I just want to just go out on location, you know, meet up at wherever famous place they meet up at, take my little old cheap equipment and plug it up and be like, all right, let's do this in front of a live group of people. Because I believe it'll be a high energy, high spirited time. But what I want to do now is, I told you I was going to talk about some legends, or at least a legend, because women's basketball, women's athletics in general, sometimes does not get the recognition that it deserves. And what I want to talk about, because she is a Kansas legend, story I picked up here, and it says, why former KU basketball star Lynette Woodard should be as famous as Caitlin Clark. Credit for this story goes to Sam Zeff of Kansas News Service. So it goes like this. It says, up until a few weeks ago, Lynette Woodard from the University of Kansas had scored more points in college basketball than any woman ever. But she was never recognized by the NCAA as a scoring champion. See there? Right there. First word that comes to mind. Disrespect. Even a casual college basketball fan can list famous University of Kansas Jayhawks. Players Wilt Chamberlain, Danny Manning, coaches Paul Gallen and Bill Self, and of course, James Naismith, inventor of the game, and turns out the only losing coach in KU men's basketball history. But the Jayhawk who scored more points blaze more trails and probably inspire more athletes was Lynette Woodard. Lynette Woodard would definitely be one of the greatest players in women's basketball if she played today, ESPN basketball commentator Brenda Van Lingen said. Van Lingen played college basketball and is producing a multi-part documentary on the history of women's college basketball. Woodard, a native of Wichita, graduate of North High, at the time Redskins, as I said that, was a four-time All-American, two-time Olympian, and in 1996 was named the greatest female athlete ever in the then Big 12 Conference. She was inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame in 2004. In her 4 years at KU, she scored 3,649 points, more than any other woman in the game, until Caitlin Clark from the University of Iowa surpassed that mark February 28 with 33 points against the University of Minnesota. In that game, Clark also broke the season record for three-point shots. Of course, Woodard scored all her points without a three-point shot, introduced in 1987, and played with a bigger basketball than women compete with now. In today's game, she probably would have scored over 4,000 points, Van Lingen said. The man with the most points at KU, Danny Manning, scored 2,951, 698 fewer points than Woodard. Manning would have had to play 35 more games, another entire season, to match Woodard's scoring. Woodard was also the first woman to play for the Harlem Globetrotters. Ebony Magazine at the time called her the Crown Princess of Basketball, a play on the Trotters' famous marketing line. After a game in Houston on February 14, 1986, Philadelphia Daily News wrote, Doe Fleet and Willow Tall, 26-year-old Woodard, is blazing a trail in basketball. She won't rival Jackie Robinson, but that's okay. Woodard is not comfortable being thought of as a role model. But you don't seek role model status. It finds you. And it certainly found Lynette Woodard. She's one of the all-time greatest athletes in women's sports, said Michael Vopel, who has covered women's basketball since 1984 and writes for ESPN.com. To see someone like Lynette, who was so powerful, so strong, so unapologetic about being an athlete. I think she was an inspiration to anybody, regardless of sexuality or gender identity or anything. If you were just somebody who I don't fit into what everybody says a girl is supposed to be like, people like Lynette told you that was okay. Despite her stellar credentials, Woodard's name is nowhere to be found in NCAA basketball records. She played when the women's game was governed by the Association for Intercollegiate Athletics for Women. So now let me put a pin right there. Maybe it's time to change some things and put these records in the record book. That's just my thought. And to me, it's the right thing to do. The NCAA didn't have interest in governing women's sports when women's sports leaders approached them in the late 1960s. So the women created their own governance and championship organization, Van Lingen said. It wasn't until the NCAA saw women's sports as viable that they took over the governance. So let me say it like this, and I know this may be a crazy reference, but you look at an entity like the WWE, they pretty much bought up all the assets from WCW, which means all the records that were from WCW wrestlers, guess what, were also included under the WWE banner. The NCAA can do the same thing and put these records in their respective place. Van Lingen says, now is the time for the NCAA to see there? I hadn't even gotten there. We're on the same page. I need to find this Van Langen and maybe get her on my podcast. But Van Langen says now is the time for the NCAA to recognize those records, just like Major League Baseball finally recognized the Negro Leagues. Woodard's last basketball stop was Winthrop University, where she was head women's coach from 2016 to 2020. She kept a low profile since then, but did weigh in on whether the NCAA should recognize AIWA records. Those records should have been merged a long time ago, Woodard told the Washington Post in February. We're so quick to erase everything we don't like or think we don't like. It's just not fair. There's a lot of history there, and it just should not be dismissed. So there you have a little backdrop on Lynette Woodard. Why would I take the time to bring up Lynette Woodard? Because she was a legend here in the state of Kansas during her high school days. Why else would I bring up Lynette Woodard? Because when you look at when she played and look at the landscape of basketball nowadays on the high school scene, and based on some of the things I had a chance to see, the trail that some of these young ladies are going down was blazed by one Lynette Woodard. You heard in my interview with Coach Allen that I mentioned some names. I mentioned Lynette Woodard. I mentioned Jackie Stiles. But then I mentioned today's players. And I think they're worthy to be mentioned along with those names. Now, will they put up the same statistics that Lynette Woodard did in high school? That remains to be seen. I know one is a sophomore that we mentioned, and one is a freshman, so they have the time to do it. But I believe that if they play the game the right way, keep their feet on solid footing, keep their head in the right place, you will be mentioning their names along with Lynette Woodard, Jackie Stiles, just to name a few. But at the end of the day, let them be them. You know, we always say, who is going to be the next this or who is going to be the next that? No, let them be what their given name is. Let them make their own name. If they surpass these records, then that's all great. Let them be them. Don't let them be the next somebody. Let them be them to where you can mention their name along with some of these same names. Looking more into Lynette Woodard, proud to say that August 12, 1959, Wichita, Kansas, pioneer in women's collegiate and professional basketball, who set the record for most career points in the history of women's collegiate basketball, 3,649, and was the first woman to play for the Harlem Globetrotters. But you may not know that Woodard grew up in Wichita, the third of four children of Lou Jean Woodard, a firefighter, and Dorothy Jenkins Woodard, a homemaker. At an early age, she and her brother invented their own version of basketball called sockball, in which they practiced their basketball techniques by shooting a rolled up pair of their father's sock over doorways. I think a lot of us did that growing up. Their indoor games soon gave way to outdoor games on the public playground. As a sophomore at Wichita North High School, Woodard played on the girls' basketball team. With her help, the team won the 5A state championship in 1975 and 1977. Her plan also caught the eye of Marion Washington, the coach of the women's basketball team at the University of Kansas, AU. Her senior year, Woodard was selected as a high school All-American and was heavily recruited by college coaches, After graduating from high school in 1977, she decided to play for Coach Washington at KU. In 1978, with its first year at KU, she led the nation in rebounds with 14.8 and was second in scoring with 25.2 points per game. Do I need to repeat that? In 1978, with its first year at KU, she led the nation in rebounds with 14.8 and was second in scoring with 25.2 points per game. In her sophomore, junior, and senior years, she led the nation in steals. During her 4 years at Kansas, the Lady Jayhawks won 3 Big 8 championships and had a 4-year 108-32 win-loss record. Woodard was selected as the Big 8 Tournament Most Valuable Player MVP 3 times. She averaged 26.3 points per game and scored a record 3,649 points, an all-time scoring record for women's collegiate basketball. Her record was especially spectacular because it was set in 1981 for the three-point rule. It is not listed as a National Collegiate Athletic Association NCAA record because it occurred 1 year before the NCAA took over the governance of women's college sports from the Association of Intercollegiate Athletics for Women. Of course, we stated in that other article that it's time that the NCAA merged these records and give her her due recognition. Woodard was a Kodak All-American all 4 years she played for Kansas, 1978-1981. In her junior and senior years, she was also selected for, get this, young ladies, I want y'all to get this, Academic All-America Honors. Her senior year, she won both Broderick Award and Wade Trophy as the Women's College Basketball Player of the Year. That same year, she was selected as the Big 8 Conference Outstanding Female of the Year and the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, Wichita Chapter Women of the Year. During her years at Kansas, playing forward and guard, she ranked first or second in the nation in steals, scoring, or rebounding. Woodard graduated from college in 1981 with a BS in Speech Communications and Human Relations. Her Lady Jayhawk retired jersey was hung next to those of Wilt Chamberlain and Danny Manning in the KU Allen Fieldhouse. 1982, a year after her graduating, NCAA presented her with their Top B Award, naming her one of the top 5 collegiate athletes. While at the University of Kansas, Woodard played on the U.S. national team that won a gold medal in the 1979 World University Games. She was selected for the 1980 U.S. Olympic women's basketball team, but due to the U.S. boycott of the Moscow Olympics, the team never competed. In 1983, Woodard was a member of the U.S. national team that won a gold medal at the Pan American Games and a silver medal at the World Championships. In 1984, she captained the U.S. Olympic team that won gold medal at the Los Angeles Olympics. Prior to the Los Angeles Olympics, U.S. national team won a gold medal in the international competition at the Jones Cup in Taipei, Taiwan, and Woodard was named to the all-tournament team. In 1985, Woodard made history when she became the first woman to play for the Harlem Globetrotters. Woodard had learned how to twirl a basketball years earlier from her cousin, Hubert Geese Osby, a world-famous Harlem Globetrotter comedian whose 24-year career ended in 1984. Woodard was presented with the Harlem Globetrotters' prestigious Legends ring in 1996. After playing with the Globetrotters for 2 years, Woodard played professionally in Italy for 2 seasons, 1987 to 1989. In 1989, she helped her team win the Italian National Championship. She then played 3 seasons, 1990 to 1993, in Japan for Daiwa Securities. Her Japanese team won the divisional championship in 1992. While based overseas, she returned home to play for the U.S. national women's basketball team that won a gold medal in the 1990 World Championships and a bronze medal at the 1991 Pan American Games. In 1992, Witter became the athletic director for the Kansas City, Missouri School District. She remained at this position for 2 years before moving to New York City to become a registered stockbroker with Magna Securities Corporation. But her playing days were not over, and in 1997, she was drafted to play for the Cleveland Rockers of newly formed Women's National Basketball Association, WNBA. In 1997, she led the Cleveland Rockers in steals with 46. Woodard was selected for the NBA, for the WNBA Detroit Shock expansion team, coached by Nancy Lieberman Klein. That's another legend name right there. In 1998. She retired after the 1998 season to return to her alma mater, the University of Kansas, where she became the athletic department's special assistant for external relations with women's basketball and put her extensive experience to work in her position as the assistant coach of the Lady Jayhawks. And there is so much more to this, but actually, I can't go ahead and conclude this. So let me go ahead and conclude this. At 6 feet tall, Lynette Woodard is considered one of the most outstanding women basketball players of all time. She was a gifted, complete player who could play any position at the highest level. Her combined uncanny ability to anticipate and her exceptional quickness allowed her to dominate play. She received the Women's Sports Foundation Flo Hyman Award in 1993 and was inducted into the Foundation's International Sports Hall of Fame. In 1996, she served as a member of the Olympic Committee Board of Directors and was named the greatest female player in the history of the Big Eight Conference. Sports Illustrated for Women named her one of the 100 greatest women athletes in 1999. The following year, Woodard became the first woman to be inducted into the Kansas City Sports Walk of Stars. Woodard will always be remembered as a trailblazer, one of the greatest players in women's basketball. So I want to share that with you because I know that there are some that are listening and you may be inspired by what you just heard about Lynette Woodard. Well, tell you what I'm going to do. I think the time has been well spent and I am going to bring this train in back into the station. But I hope you have enjoyed today's podcast. Even more important, I hope you enjoyed my guest. I keep telling y'all that this is the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. I'll be nice this time. I can't prove it, but I can tell you this much. I know I have some of the best guests that ever come on Train Ride, whether it be the players, whether it be the coaches. My guests take a backseat to no one. And for that, I have to say thank you and applaud them for that. And today it was assistant coach for the Derby Panthers women's basketball team, Danny Allen. So I'm very appreciative to you and the entire coaching staff. But until the next time, take care of yourself and each other. Be blessed, and we will do this again sooner rather than later. I'm out.